Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
One of the strangest reports that we've seen in quite some time came down on Sunday, and that the fact that Condoleezza Rice, the Browns were interested in speaking with her about their head coaching vacancy, quickly then rebuffed by both Rice and the Cleveland Browns. Let's welcome aboard right now Daryl Ryder, 92.3 The Fan, a Browns insider. Hey, Daryl, Andrew and Mark with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
No, Daryl, it's so asinine. It is so out there. How exactly does this report get out? Even if it got thrown out in some meeting, how does this possibly get into the hands of Adam Schefter?
Well, Schefter didn't make it up. He didn't get to where he is.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying who exactly in the Browns organization thought that maybe throwing Condoleezza Rice out as a possibility would be a good idea?
Yeah, well, that's the million-dollar question, and it's a very good one because on the bye week for about the 20th straight year, the Browns took a loss with another absurd story that comes out while the team isn't even playing a game. You know, it's one thing if she was qualified for the job. You know, John Dorsey made an off-the-cuff comment last week during a press conference and talking about the coaching search. When he said, you know, we're going to look for everyone. We'll even, look at women. One of the reporters cackled, and then he said, I'm serious. You know, I'm not joking around. And he happened to look at Mary Kay Cabot, who's the outstanding beat writer for Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer here in town, as he was, you know, trying to, make his point. And the point was basically, we'll talk to anyone and everyone to find the right person. I don't think that necessarily he meant that they were going to actually interview a woman because there is no up-and-coming female assistant in the NFL right now, and I quite honestly believe that report does a disservice to any woman that is trying to make a name for herself in the sport of football and is interested in working her way up the coaching ranks. When you talk about, we'll interview someone that's, quite frankly, not even qualified for the job.
What are the names that are kind of most popular right now in and around the city among the fan base that people might want to see actually get this job, Daryl?
Well, you know, Lincoln Riley, obviously, because he coached Baker Mayfield in college, he is someone that everyone wants to talk about. Matt Campbell at Iowa State is another popular name. He could very well end up in Columbus, Ohio, replacing Urban Meyer if there is a change there. People are keeping an eye on the Baltimore Ravens situation with John Harbaugh right now. Same thing with Green Bay and Mike McCarthy. This is going to be an extensive, exhaustive search, but I also anticipate that the Browns will move very quickly once their season wraps up on December 30th.
You know, Daryl, do you think talking with everybody, but do you think ultimately the goal is putting somebody that has the development of Baker Mayfield at the top of the priority list, the guy that can help him do that is at the top of the list?
Absolutely, and that's part of the reason why Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley are no longer with the organization. They were not going to allow a dispute between coaches to get in the way of what they're trying to accomplish, and that is win football games and develop Baker Mayfield. And I happened to, you know, mention it yesterday in one of my stories that's, you know, priority number one for Greg Williams at this point. You know, Greg will get the interview with John Dorsey and the organization for the full-time job. I don't think he has any realistic chance of actually getting it, but they will give him the respect of giving him an interview. But, Baker Mayfield's development is one of his top priorities as the interim coach. And we've seen that over the last, 4 to 5 weeks. Baker Mayfield's completion percentage has shot up. It's like 69%. His touchdown to interception ratio is outstanding at 9-2. He's taking a lot fewer sacks than he was a couple of weeks ago as well. So you're seeing very encouraging signs from Baker Mayfield And I think a big part of that has to deal with the fact that new offensive coordinator Freddie Kitchens is putting him in a much, much better position to be successful.
Daryl, I'm glad you mentioned the Hugh Jackson, Todd Haley issues. Maybe I missed this explanation or we never actually got one, but how did they come together in the first place? Since it seems like they were not on the same page from the preseason, from the summer through Hard Knocks, why was Todd on the staff to begin with that would have immediately led to the issues between the two men?
Because this is what happens when you're trying to save your job, which Hugh Jackson was since January. He knew after going 1-31 and getting that third year commitment from ownership that he had to do everything he could to extend his stay, if you will, beyond the 3 years, which meant he needed to start winning football games. And when Todd Haley became available, he felt that, you know, Haley could come in spite of his personality and reputation for not getting along with people or not working well with people, that he would come in and provide some credibility that Hugh Jackson had completely blown in 2 years here. And then also at the same time, the experience within the division and the success that he had as the offensive coordinator with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, granted, Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell were not particularly on this roster, but there was some offensive talent here. There is offensive talent here, I should say, based off of, you know, what general manager John Dorsey was able to do. But, you know, I think it's in one of those Brownsian things. You can see the train wreck coming. Everybody can see it, except for the Cleveland Browns. It's astonishing how predictable this franchise is when it comes to just the ridiculous and stupidity that seems to occur and hover over this team. We can all see it, but they can't. And it's, like I said, you shake your head in dismay.
Although I guess I was, like everybody else, caught off guard by this Condoleezza Rice story over the weekend, but in particular because, like, the week before, I feel like people were trying to give the Browns credit for letting John Dorsey be in charge of this search. I didn't necessarily believe that Jimmy Haslam was going to stay out of it 100%, but yeah. Everyone's like, oh, so John will do this right. And then the very next news story about the search is Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah, this franchise does they defy explanation. That's how incompetent they are. They really are. I mean, it's the worst run organization in professional sports, and they finally seem to have fixed one critical area, and that was the talent acquisition phase of things by bringing in John Dorsey, who then brought in Alonzo Highsmith and Elliot Wolf from Green Bay. And they've got a very good personnel department right now, and it shows by when you watch the team. You can see the infusion of talent on the roster. Granted, the record hasn't exactly reflected that at 3-6-1. It's very hard to tell people, yeah, this team is very improved, they're very close, et cetera. But the reality is they are. They need some more depth, and they just need a little more talent, and that just takes some time. And I still think they need a peacekeeper in the building. They need – because – ever since the Haslams took over and the way they structure the organization, everybody answers to them, which means everyone's constantly trying to kiss up to them and be in their good graces and tell them how great they are at their job and how everyone else thinks at their job. And that's why the team isn't any good. And, you know, that's John Dorsey's a scout at heart. That he is a talent evaluator. That's what he does best. And that's fine. He can still be the general manager. You can keep your personnel department structured the way it is. But having the head coach and the GM report directly to the Haslams is just a disaster waiting to happen. And the next coach going to happen is, I'm going to predict it, the next coach will be hired, and he'll complain about the talent that there is, and there isn't enough talent, et cetera. And then the Haslams will go to the GM, and the GM will say, well, we got plenty of talent problems here. Show you the film. The coaching isn't that good. And then we have the same vicious cycle all over again. Now, if Condoleezza Rice's name happened to pop up because she's being considered for a president-type role or president of football operations-type role, I think that that'd be a perfect situation for her. I've mentioned Amy Trask over the years. I think she'd be great for that, even though I don't think Amy has any interest in having anything to do with the Browns. But they need a buffer between the general manager, the head coach, and ownership, or else the same problems that we've watched since the Haslams bought this team in 2012 are just going to keep repeating themselves over and over and over again. And once again, John Dorsey can't worry about anything other than talent acquisition. It's not his job, you know, to be a peacekeeper and be the go-between and all those type of things. But it's the same vicious cycle of just inexplicable stupidity that surrounds the Cleveland Browns and this franchise since the Haslams have owned it. And I just, quite frankly, don't see it changing anytime soon.
Well, Darryl, happy Thanksgiving on that note.
Thank you, guys.
Be thankful.
92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Darryl Ryder. Hey, Darryl, we appreciate it. All right, brother, enjoy your Tuesday.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.